This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The world is still in the midst of a pandemic. So why are some stock markets trading around pre-crisis highs? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In his first coronavirus briefing since April, President Trump warned the coronavirus crisis in the U.S. is likely to get worse before it gets better. Further south, Mexico's health ministry confirmed today the number of COVID-19 deaths there has risen above 40,000, the fourth highest total in the world. Now the Pan American Health Organization says the pandemic in the Americas shows no signs of slowing. Why, then, are benchmark stock indices, including the S&P 500, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index, and Frankfurt's DAX, nearing pre-pandemic highs? For some insight, we called Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell.
It does seem really strange that, say, America's S&P 500 is actually up 9% on where it was a year ago. And you can't tell me that the world economy or the world feels like a 9% better place. So I think investors are looking at three things: the Federal Reserve and the US government pumping stimulus into the economy to get it going again. They're trying to look through the recession to what they hope will be an ultimate recovery. And then you've got this technology effect. Those stocks like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, they are basically responsible for all of the gain in the S&P 500's market valuation and more over the last 12 months.
So investors optimistic looking into the future, but at the same time, so-called safe haven gold is also at an 8-year high. That seems to be a bit of a contradiction, doesn't it?
It does, but there's a related theme there. Central banks and governments pumping money into the economy. And I think what some investors are saying is, look, they did all of this stimulus after the great financial crisis, didn't get round to withdrawing it. They're doing even more stimulus now. They're on a road from which they cannot return, with the result that will inevitably be simply more money printing, more creation, more deficits in the future.
So a bit of a hedge, in other words.
Yeah, they're looking for protection against perhaps inflation in the future, certainly money creation. You're seeing a huge jump in money supply. So although lots of currencies are fairly even against each other, against gold, yeah, gold's up something like 25% over the last 12 months against the dollar, the pound, the yen, the Swiss franc, and most other currencies you can name.
Well, speaking of currencies, the euro hit a 1.5-year high yesterday against the dollar. That's after the European Union finally green-lighted an emergency pandemic response to this crisis. While that will help alleviate the pressure right now for European countries, it doesn't eliminate underlying structural problems in some countries like Italy, which still need to implement fiscal reforms.
No, not at all. But I think for the Europeans to reach an agreement, I think was an existential issue in some ways, because if, you know, you're an Italian taxpayer and the European Union won't come in to help you in your hour of direst need or proves incapable of doing so, it may have prompted some voters to think, what on earth are we involved in this thing in the first place for? So I think it's a politically powerful thing that they have come to an agreement. Now, obviously, they need to prove that the monetary medicine works to help Europe through the crisis.
Clearly plenty to parse through. Russ Mould, investment director at AJ Bell. Always great to chat with you.
Thank you.
Global stocks are higher on the whole since the start of the year, but lower on today's session. That's amid escalating tension between the U.S. and China. Washington confirmed it requested Beijing to close its consulate in Houston to protect intellectual property. China has strongly condemned the move and vowed to retaliate, saying closure at short notice was an unprecedented escalation. The stock 600 is down about 1%. U.S. stock futures are about 0.5% lower. A $6 billion lawsuit against the mining giant BHP Billiton is being lodged in Britain today. The claimants allege the Anglo-Australian company ignored safety warnings about a dam in Brazil, which collapsed in 2015. The BBC's Candice Piette has more.
The collapse of the mining dam near the city of Mariana in the state of Minas Gerais released a torrent of toxic sludge that killed 19 people and wiped out whole villages. The deluge left a trail of destruction along the Dorsey River, affecting millions of people and the water supplies of dozens of cities. Families were made homeless and fishermen lost their livelihood. A BHP spokesman said the claim didn't belong in Britain because it duplicated proceedings in Brazil and the work of its foundation, which is managing reparations to the victims.
The BBC's Candice Piette reporting there. The publishing industry is coming off a record-breaking year, figures released today show. In 2019, publisher sales rose to nearly $8 billion across the board for print and digital, both at home and abroad. But then the coronavirus crisis hit. Stephen Latinga, boss of the Publishers Association here in the UK, explains how it's impacted the industry.
The UK is the single largest exporter of books anywhere in the world. And even where we were able to actually get books into markets, we couldn't really get them distributed to people. So it's had a very real impact on our ability to be able to distribute. So it's been a very difficult period.
It's not all bad news, though. Perhaps a silver lining, there are reports from individual publishers who have said that they've seen a record number of manuscripts submitted during the crisis. Is that what you're seeing across the industry?
Yeah, I think there's been a period of time where authors have had time to be able to sit down and write. But I wouldn't get carried away with that. Some people have had seen their books delayed in terms of them being released. And it's quite clear that during lockdown, a lot of people have been reading. So that gives us a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
Do you think that bodes well for another record-breaking year for 2020?
I wouldn't get carried away. I suspect we will see some impact in 2020. But then, of course, there are big institutional buyers, so universities and schools. And I think we're going to see a delayed reaction in terms of the pressure on their budgets.
Now, the Black Lives Matter movement all across the world has focused attention on racial equality across a range of industries, including publishing. Figures here in the UK show diversity has increased, but it's still lower than the UK population, and it lags far below London. What is the industry doing to improve diversity in its ranks?
We have made some progress, particularly around, for example, gender, but on ethnicity, there's a lot more that we need to do. Individual publishers have programs that they're putting in place, both to ensure that their workforce are more diverse and to ensure that they are trying to find new writers, new voices. And we also produce statistics about what's going on in our industry and what progress is being made.
Last month, more than 100 writers of the newly formed Black Writers Guild wrote a letter to some of the major publishers here in the UK. And among their recommendations, they called for more data sharing about Black authors, including how many make it through the submission process. Do you think there's been enough progress on this front, or do you think there needs to be a bigger focus across the industry?
There definitely needs to be a bigger focus. There are some very detailed recommendations, both in that letter and other reports, about how publishers should be changing the way their practices. Our intention is to look in particular at the areas around better data sharing to help provide some more transparency about what's going on. We do intend to respond fully and to engage the writers of that letter, and that will be happening shortly.
Stephen Latinga, CEO of the Publishers Association here in the UK. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.